Proud to have come through a really exciting, probably most significant week in KSCO/KOMY history this last week because of the major change that we made on Thursday at 10 a.m. We did the cutover from the Air America Talk Radio to a music format. Music
on KSCO 1080.
Okay, well, actually, it wasn't KSCO. It was KOMY, actually, right. So, in any case, welcome to the Saturday special, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you aboard. We are going to sort of do a open mic thing for the first 15, 20 minutes, maybe half hour. And we have a scheduled guest who will probably be joining us at 10:30. And the reason I'm sounding as if I'm talking very, very deliberately is because there's a terrible echo in my headphones. Something happened in the last 30 seconds, Dave. So what could it have been? I'd hate to have to do this program without the headphones.
Let's see. I checked the phone
Something
line.
Changed.
I checked the phone line and put you on hold, or put the caller on hold. That's the only thing I have done.
Oh, okay. Well, here, maybe I can undo that.
Okay.
Maybe I can undo that here. Okay. Is that much better? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Oh,
is that better
okay.
on your side?
It's much better on my side.
There we go.
No, you didn't put the caller on hold. You put the caller on the air, and that's where the echo came from. Because that caller is me as a test caller, and it was picking me up. You know what? It's so funny. It's you know, you're trying to use the phone system by using the telephone instrument, and that confuses me too. It's so much easier to use it on the screen, you know, on the computer screen.
Right.
Because then you can't get confused. But that what happened to you happens to me all the time. Anyhow, the big change that happened is that we pulled the plug on Air America. We knew that we were going to do this back in October because after a year and a half, we decided we had given it the college try for Air America to work in the Central Coast area, and then it just didn't. I mean, we had probably a good number of people listening, but it was not a commercially viable format. We couldn't sell any advertising, and you need to be able to do that if you're a commercial radio station or you die. So, as I said, I think we gave it more than enough of a chance to catch on as a viable business, and it just didn't. But we weren't quite ready to switch to something else because we were scratching our heads all this time, you know, from the end of October to this week when we made the decision to switch from Air America Talk Radio on 1340. KOMY to oldies. And just for the benefit of those people, you don't normally do this on a radio. You don't get on the radio and urge people or even suggest to people that they switch to another station. But I'm going to do that because I feel like I'm doing a public service. And this other station that I'm going to urge people to switch to, whatever they want to, as long as they don't stop anywhere else in between or outside, you know, this other station, which is our sister station or brother station, however you want to characterize it, AM 1340 KOMY, as long as you don't stop at any other station, you wouldn't want to anyhow, because when all is said and done, you know, who would want to listen to anything besides KSCO or KOMY? But here's KOMY, I think. I think we've got, it's supposed to be, you know. Here we go.
Gray Bay's original KOMY, La Selva Beach, Watsonville, Santa Cruz, Salinas.
Also sort of leave that on in the background because I sort of dig it. But and I know you do too, Dave. You've been pushing for a music format for a long time, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, yeah. And so you think we did the right one?
I know you did the right choice. You can never go wrong with music.
Well, I mean, with this particular kind, there's music and there's music. I mean, this is 50s, 60s, and 70s, oldies music.
Right. Hey, MZ.
Yeah.
Did you used to wear those butterfly collars and all that stuff when disco was out? Because I heard you playing, Saturday Night Fever or Staying Alive last night?
Yeah.
And I was trying to imagine you with a big afro and a white suit with the big collar and gold.
Not me, because I never learned to dance, but I now it's never too late. If someone wants to teach me to dance like John Travolta at the age of 55, I'll be more than happy to give it a whirl, give it a swirl, as it were. But yeah, I mean, I did have long hair and I did have a beard.
Did you show off your chest hair?
Yeah. Yeah, I did that, but I didn't dance. And so people said, so what? Because if you don't dance and you're not, I mean, just having chest hair is just no big deal. Lots of people have that.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal. Anyhow, so it's not just KOMY that we're changing. We're also changing a good portion of KSCO, and that is the afternoon drive show from 4 to 7, which you are going to be the pilot in command thereof. Am I right, Dave?
Yes, you are. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, and ever since Phil Hendry retired in June last year, we've put on a local program called Happy Hour.
Right.
And with Rick and Phil, and all that show was going places. And but that had to change because Rick was called to active duty in the morning show in Good Morning Monterey Bay when Scott Free decided he wanted to become a stand-up comedian. And so he had to take steps to do that. We hope he's doing well. We're confident that he will. But we needed to fill his shoes on the morning show, and Rick O'Shea was called to duty for that. And that sort of left a hole for our afternoon program. So what we are going to be doing, I was thinking of making it a surprise and just teasing people. Just say, hey, you know, tune in at 4 o'clock on Monday and see what happens. But, you know, it actually leaked out, and they made it a news story on KSCO yesterday. And Charlie Friedman, the very professional Mr. Radio, who has been filling in for me, actually, on a regular basis, you know, when I'm unable to do the program, much to the delight of people, because word I've gotten is that when Charlie is on, the audience is much bigger, we get a lot more callers, and, you know, they enjoy him more than they do me. It's okay. It's no big deal. All we want is to make people happy. And, you know, if you don't have MZ to kick around anymore one of these days, that's okay, too. So be it, as long as you're happy with who and what you do have.
We'll just kick Charlie around.
Yeah, you could kick Charlie around if you want. But all right, so we invite you to give us a call and just sort of have some fun with us. We can talk about what's happening in the news if you want. We can talk about what's happening at KSCO, KOMY. We could talk about health. You decide. Give us a call, 479-1080. I think we have one caller now. Am I right? Who is this caller? Hello? Who is this? Good evening, Sherry. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from... Actually, I'm driving right now. I live in Brookdale.
Oh. Well, good. Thanks for calling the radio station.
You're welcome. I heard that you have done the KOMY, the oldies. And
it's not going to be just plain old oldies like other stations have tried oldies in the market in the past.
Uh-huh.
Whenever we've heard other stations that have tried oldies have tried canned formats from the big companies that have the same 18 songs that because some consultant said these are the songs that people want to listen to.
Right.
We're formatting our own songs with the help of a brilliant person who understands this. And it is not a canned format. We're formatting it ourselves, and we plan to become a personality with DJs, with real DJs and real personalities talking about what's in the news and everything, sort of a hybrid between all music, all oldies music, and talk radio. So that's our plan.
Great. Sounds great. What are the call? What's that? Where is that on the dial? Because I always listen to KSCO.
1340.
1340.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's a weaker station, so you probably won't be able to get it. I mean, I'm sure you won't be able to get it as strongly in Brookdale as you do KSCO.
Right.
However, we are available on the web. We will have KOMY will have its own website very shortly. Stay tuned and we'll announce it. But for right now, if you want to connect to our KOMY feed, you go to the KSCO.com website, and on the left hand margin there's a thing that says a section that says on air options. There's live KSCO feed, there's live KOMY feed, there's Saturday special. If you click on Saturday special, it'll start playing the last Saturday special that was produced. If you click on the live KOMY feed, this is what you'll hear at the moment. I'm just tempted to leave it up, and who needs to listen to me, but except out of courtesy to you, we'll fade it down here. Because I'm
okay.
Sure people
would. I think it's great. I think you guys are really great. I love Kay's commentaries.
We will put Kay's commentaries on KOMY. They were persona non grata on KOMY when KOMY was an Air America station, because the Air America people did not like to hear what Kay had to say. And so they had nervous breakdowns and didn't, you know, let us know that they were not going to listen to the station if we continued to have Kay on KOMY. But I think Kay's commentaries will be welcome additions to Comey, you know, as an occasional break, you know, from the music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the plan anyhow. We'll see. It's a work in progress. We reserve the right to make changes.
Okay, you sure do, and you're doing a great job, so keep it up.
Bless you. Thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Here's Nick in Idaho. You like the new format, eh, Nick?
Yeah, this is Rick. Sorry about that.
Oh, Rick, sorry.
Yeah, got a really good format. I heard a version of Louie Louie by the Beach Boys, and that was unbelievable. I didn't even know they put that song out.
Oh. You know, there's one song that I really want to get, and I've got to talk to DJ, our pilot in command for the format. He's the guy who selects the songs, and so far I think his taste in oldies music is just unsurpassable. But there's a song I just called to say I love you by Stevie Wonder. Everybody's heard that song, but there's a version of it that has a vocoder at the beginning. You know, and a vocoder is sort of a cross between a voice and music, you know, a voice that's sort of in sync with the music. You know what I'm talking. In fact, there's a little bit of that in KOMY. Yeah, that's what's playing on KOMY at the moment, Johnny Rivers. But anyhow, yeah, go ahead.
Paul and the Raiders used to play in Capitola back in the late 60s. We used to have a lot of those oldies groups like the Directors and Paul Revere and the Raiders.
No!
The old group.
I would know that because that was my time. Where was I? Maybe I was in Berkeley demonstrating. I don't know.
Really, you were a liberal back then?
I was not a super militant one, but definitely a liberal. Definitely.
I used to be a liberal too when I was young and idealistic, but now I don't like the direction it's heading. Everybody's fighting over stupid things instead of getting things done.
Right. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. What did it for me, what turned me into a redneck overnight was building my house, or trying to get a permit to build a house on a 70-foot by 125-foot lot in Santa Cruz. And they treated me at the city like I was proposing to develop all the coastal open space between Santa Cruz and San Francisco. I said, hey, this is what liberalism has done. I'm not interested, thank you. So I changed and sort of became
a... there's still people that got permits from the 1989 earthquake that still can't build.
And it looks like you moved to Idaho, huh?
Yes, it's a lot cheaper here, and it's really strange because everybody's very conservative here. But if your car breaks down or something, everybody helps you, and everybody's compassionate. It's like compassion without fakeness.
Wow. Gee. And now with the internet, you could, if there's one thing you like and miss about Santa Cruz, you can still have it. Us, huh?
Well, I do pick up AM 1080 KSDL before sunset because you're still broadcasting at 10,000 watts.
Oh, yeah.
So when I walk my dogs, I got a portable radio, I could actually pick you up really good. And then after sunset, I lose the signal a little bit, but you come in most of the time after sunset, too.
Wow, that's great. You've mentioned that before, and that's amazing. That's amazing. I guess people don't realize that KSCO can be heard in the daytime when we're at full power over about a third of California. And we've never really promoted that to our advertisers. We really should.
Well, I understand people pick you up in Hawaii and New Zealand as well, so I guess your signal goes out pretty good.
Well, I don't think we're going to be advertising on bus butts in Honolulu, but plus I know they have an AM 1080 over there that covers us up now, you know, at least when they're on. So, hey, well, thanks, Rick. And it did say Rick. It was just my eyeballs that saw it said Nick.
Hey, that's okay.
Okay.
We're all getting older, so you know how that is.
Appreciate you. And you know, and right. And I've been sort of depressed lately because I turned 55 and I'm no longer in the coveted advertiser demographic of 25 to 54. But people have told me that I should take heart in the fact that those preferred demographics categories are going to change and I'll be back in it again, so I don't have to quite feel quite as bad.
Well, I understand that people over 55 are spending a lot of money, so they can't discount.
Yeah, they better spend it before they croak.
Yeah, they want to get rid of it as fast
as they can. And who wants to leave it to ungrateful kids, right?
Or the government.
Or the government, right, especially the government. Okay. Anyway, thanks, Rick.
Hey, you have a good day.
You too. Take care. Here's Bill in Monterey on the... Welcome to the Saturday special at 10:24. Bill, you're on.
Yeah, did those impertinent twits at Air America say they can't play their commentary they didn't want her on?
Well, the people who liked the local listeners to Air America, you know, they would get indigestion.
Oh,
no, the Air America, the network, had nothing to say. In fact, I've got to say that the Air America, the people running Air America, have been nothing but great to us. I mean, they've been very courteous and very nice. And when I gave them notice in September that October 25th would be our last broadcast and called them up on the 25th and said, would you mind if we took your signal for some more time here while we get our act together about, because we hadn't figured out what we were going to do with the radio station by that time. Yeah. And they were very kind and nice, and they said, sure, just let us know. And yesterday or Thursday, I sent them an email saying, okay, thanks for letting us keep your signal longer, and thanks a lot. But we're now an oldie station. And instantly, there was press all over the country, certainly in the radio circles and the blogs. I mean, if you do a Google search for KOMY and oldies and Air America, a whole bunch of stuff will pop up. I mean, like, it's just the buzz all over the country. I didn't think a little 1,000-watt station in Santa Cruz switching to oldies, you know, would be, you know, sort of a semi-national news, you know, story. But it is. It's just amazing. The Sentinel wrote a front page story that appeared yesterday, and I guess that was picked up by someone. Told me that Sean Hannity talked about it without mentioning the name, because I don't think we're not a Sean Hannity affiliate, and I think the local affiliate would jump down his throat if he mentioned the name of a competitor. But he was definitely talking about us. It was about the fact that even in the most liberal town in the world, I like to say Santa Cruz, the politics of Santa Cruz makes Berkeley look right wing.
Yeah.
Even in Santa Cruz, Air America didn't work. Well, it worked, as you know, we had plenty of listeners on Comey, but we just couldn't get any advertisers. That was the problem.
Then it isn't working.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I was wondering, can you get an interview like Ann Coulter or have you interviewed her before?
I'd love to. She's great. We'll have to put Rosie and Rick on that. These guys are – Rosie and Rick are producers extraordinaire, and if anybody can get, you know, a heavyweight like Ann Coulter, it would be them. I'm not sure that there's enough hours in her day. She's in very high demand, and usually people like that tend to, you know, grant interviews to bigger stations or networks than us.
Yeah.
However, you know – Mancow was a big star. He loves to be on. Alan Colmes called me yesterday on my cell phone and talked to me for 24 minutes. He had seen the news that we had changed, and of course he was very concerned that that his show is still on our station. Now, here's a world-famous figure who's on television, you know, who's really concerned that the news might somehow affect his program and we might not be carrying his program on KOMY. By the way, some people are very upset that we are carrying Alan currently on KSCO when it's live. When Savage left, we had to do something with that time slot, and I decided that we were going to put Alan Combs there, even though he's sort of liberal. Well, that's my plan for KSCO had always been to be a voice for everyone. And it's sad to me that conservative people who appreciate KSCO get very upset if they hear anything. To me, it's just as bad as the close-minded Air America lefties, you know, who don't want to hear anything from the other side. I think we should all be able to talk civilly to each other, and maybe the world would get better that way. Maybe we would solve some problems.
Yeah, we might get some more answers and some more input. You're right.
Yeah. So anyhow, we're going to keep Alan Combs there for the time being. I told him on the phone, I said, I can't guarantee it's going to be forever. It's a business. And, you know, frankly, we haven't been able to sell much advertising on his program either, you know.
Yeah.
But and that's the name of the game. I mean, if someone comes up and says, hey, I'll buy that time slot from you, I want to do my own talk show, we'll make them a deal. I mean, unless it's some Nazi or someone who preaches hate, you know, we're going to exercise some, you know, some discretion, of course, but
yes.
But
I think you should run Kay against Hillary myself for president.
That's what a lot. Well,
I've get a message out there on a national scale.
I had a big argument with my mother at lunch a couple of weeks ago. I said, Ma, we really should. There's enough people who listen to you on listen to the commentaries on KSCO. That we should, at the very least, form an exploratory committee, you know, for you for president, because there have been, I'm not exaggerating, over the months and years, hundreds of people who have sent comments and voicemails and emails and so forth that Kay should be president or she should run for office or something. And
well, you know,
she got real mad at me when I said that. She says, I'm too old for that sort of thing. You know that. But I don't think she is. I don't think she's too old for that sort of thing. I think the office could use some wisdom. And I don't think for a second that my mother would get corrupted like everybody else has. Do you?
No. She's got too much integrity.
Uh-huh.
Or else she wouldn't have the idea she's got.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
I would like to see... I don't know. You know, you hear about the media and they say it's not biased. But, you know, I'm wondering, when's the last time you heard about any of the heroes that we obviously have in Iraq? Their names, what they did.
Have
you heard one thing about it?
Well, no, I heard some on Fox News. And actually, you know, I must say I was surprised. I saw something along those lines on CNN just within the last two or three days. So I think it's beginning to dawn on these left-leaning media outlets that they better get with the program, you know, and at least have a little balance, you know.
Yeah, at least a little. I'll let somebody else get on.
Right.
See you, Mike.
Great. Thanks very much for calling. Hey, appreciate it. That was Bill in Monterey. I don't know who this is online, too, but let's take it before we go to a guest from across the country here in the great state of New Hampshire. Who's on the air? Hi, who is this?
Hello?
Yeah, who is it?
This is Paul from Santa Cruz.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great. I want to thank you for carrying Air America because I personally like the shows. Randy Rose and the other guy that was on in the afternoon, I thought they were bringing up a lot of facts, and our ex-President Bush said, I don't give a damn about the facts. So the point of the matter is, I really think the only way we can have a conversation is when we have a common understanding about what the true facts really are.
Sure.
And then we can make rational decisions from wisdom. Because if we don't have the information, then we're just blind people being led by blind people.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. Now, do you feel that the reason you liked Air America is because you believe that the network brings the facts that the rest of the media does not? Or?
Well, I think they bring up issues that the mainstream media that's run by Wall Street, like the Sentinel's owned by the New York Wall Street Journal.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, that just means that the business interests are always filtering the stories from their angle.
Right.
You know, what they think is relevant for the story so that the American people or the world people will have a certain perspective on what's going on. Now, I really think, basically, the reason I called is, I think the whole point of Air America was to challenge militarism and blind obedience to violence.
Yeah.
And I think that's a valid concern. I think, basically, our government is run by people that are into the military-industrial complex, and they basically funnel people into the government positions to run the government for their interests, not for our interests as public citizens,
sure,
but for private interests.
Right.
So Cyril, one of your talk show hosts, I've talked to him a couple times, and his attitude is whenever you talk about them, then you're off the charts. But the point is, corporate America is the them, the ones that make the nuclear power industry run, GE.
Right.
GE, Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So basically what I'm trying to say is thank you very much for Air America and airing their views. And
well, I really, you have no idea how much that means to me to have you thanking us, because the most of the other angry observation is that the typical person who appreciated and liked to listen to Air America is an angry person who's sort of bitter about, you know, life in general and things. And
I hear you.
That same person would, instead of thanking us like you did for for a year and a half of basically subsidizing, and you know, my family and I don't particularly care for labels, but if we have to be labeled, we're definitely more conservative than we are liberal or progressive.
Right.
But as a family, we have subsidized this for as its exclusive sponsor for a year and a half, and a lot of the people hate us for pulling the plug.
Well,
you know,
I tell you what,
and you appreciate it, so thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, and you're a businessman, bottom line, and you're trying to survive and thrive in your business. And you do deal with issues like the real estate, like my brother does, owning houses and inspection and codes. And it just seems like a torture chamber. You know, it really does. It seems like government is not here to help us. It's here to enforce us.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say thanks again, Michael. And your wife and your mom, by the way, a lot of her commentaries are right to the point, especially when Congress votes themselves four raises during a time period when the minimum wage doesn't get touched for 9 years. Doesn't that basically tell
you? So many people, I always know when there's a new commentary from Kay, because I start getting tons of emails and voicemails and accolades saying Kay should be president. You need to have her on stations and networks all over the country. And basically, as in broadcasting, it's KSCO is the exclusive, you know, outlet right now. But we're not going to keep Kay to ourselves. We want to share her with everyone.
Well, beautiful. Get her out into America.
Yeah.
And many thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Take care.
One other caller here from Santa Cruz. I think it's Anthony. What do you have to say about Roy Masters and others?
Oh, well, that's my favorite program. Is it gone? I know.
Oh, no. I hadn't even thought of that. Yes, it is gone. What are we going to do about that? Because Roy is a great person, and he's a wonderful personal friend of mine. And how can we have a station, one station or another, that doesn't at least carry Roy's advice line? I'm going to have to deal with that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, and the most chances it bites the public, you can't get another station that will fit it in, huh? Probably not.
Well, maybe we'll fit it in on KSCO somehow. I got to figure out. Roy said to me once, he says, MZ, Michael Z, let's you and I do a program together. You lead, I'll follow. And I thought that was the ultimate honor to have someone of his stature say that to me. And so maybe I'll do it. Maybe we'll do it. Or maybe, I don't know. We'll figure out something. But thank you for bringing it up.
Okay, but why did the station change?
Well, you must. Were you listening to the program, to the station between daytime hours? Because we were a liberal talk radio station carrying predominantly Air America programming, and it didn't work. I mean, as a business, we couldn't sell a single ad in 18 months. And most, you know, any real businessman, not MZ, would have pulled the plug in a month. You know, they would have seen the writing on the wall. But we figured, no, there must be something wrong here. Santa Cruz is a very liberal place. It makes Berkeley look right wing. So, my gosh, I mean, let's just give it some more time and it'll catch on. Well, it didn't. I mean, a year and a half was enough. So we pulled the plug on that, and we played it for a few months longer than we had planned to after we made the decision that it wasn't working, only because we hadn't figured out, you know, what to replace it with. And good things come to those who wait and think, because I am convinced that we made the right decision to play this. So that's KOMY. All right, let's go to our... Hey, Dave, we got a commercial break, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, why don't we run the commercial break, and then we'll introduce our guest for the program here, okay?
You got it.
Stand by. Back in a bit.
There's no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric at 425-1407. That's 425-1407.
What goes up must come down. Hello, I'm Jim Chubb, President of Pacific Inland Financial. If you are wondering where money is headed right now, join me for the answers right here at 8:25 a.m. on KSCO's Good Morning Monterey Bay Show. We'll talk about what's going on with the money supply each day. Wake up to Pacific Inland Financial's Money Report at 8:25 on Good Morning Monterey Bay. And if your questions do not get answered, call me, Jim Chubb, at 475-2600. That's 475-2600.
Life's good at the beach.
Hello, I'm Joe Creakey, owner of Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz, where life's good. One reason why life is so good at Beach Auto is that we know how to save you money. Lots of money. Instead of buying a new car or truck and losing thousands of dollars in depreciation the second you drive it off the lot, buy a quality pre-owned car from Beach Auto Sales. Beach Auto has the area's best selection of quality pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans. And I personally select every car, truck, or van that's on my lot. Another reason why life is so good at Beach Auto Sales is that buying a car or truck is so easy and fun, it's just like going to the beach. In fact, 50% of Beach Auto's monthly sales now come from satisfied repeat and referral customers. Don't forget, life's good at Beach Auto Sales.
When you're ready to buy or sell, go where life's good. That's Beach Auto Sales at 512 Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz. Give Joe Creakey a call at 4-200-200. That's 4-200-200. Life's good at the beach.
Okay, we're back.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Well, let's identify the station anyhow. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, we have to identify the station properly here. And there's only one way to do that here, and that's to, do it right here. No. The actual intelligent ID, the intelligent
ID. AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
And we are serious about that, right, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Fast. Because, we don't... We have the most intelligent listening audience of any radio station on Earth, and that's by design because we planned it that way, and we are very vigilant in enforcing that rule. So if you're not intelligent, you're on the wrong station. You need to tune out immediately. All right, welcome back to the Saturday special, hour number one thereof, on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, Silicon Valley. MZ and Dave Michaels here with you, along with a special guest here who is sort of a hero of mine. His name is Ian Bernard. He's the host, co-host, main host, driving force behind a program called Free Talk Live. Started as a broadcast, in 2002, I think, and evolved into a podcast, and now it's a broadcast and a podcast. Am I right, Ian?
That's correct. But it's quite an honor to be considered a hero of yours, MC.
Yeah, well, I think people who are passionate about what they do and try new things and are innovative are heroic of sorts. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, you save somebody's life in Iraq or something like that, but they're a different kind of hero. And so, and I don't use the term lightly, but, welcome to the Saturday Special. And we had you on a little bit as you had us on. We tried to sync up our programs day before yesterday. We gave it the College try, but it didn't work. Now, I'm hearing so much crackling here. I wonder what that's all about here. Are you hearing that too?
I don't hear any crackling.
Okay.
If it's bad, I can call you back on a different line.
Are you on a cell phone?
Negative.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll just...
Is it crackly or is it breaking up? Is it impossible to understand?
No, it's okay. We'll just deal with it for a while here. So listen, tell us about your background. You started doing what kind of a program a number of years ago on a Sarasota, Florida station?
Well, there was a Clear Channel in Sarasota had a rock station with very little wattage. In fact, the transmitter wasn't even in the market, really. It was down south, and it was like a 4,900-watt FM transmitter. And they flipped it to a talk format, and it was all satellite. It was all stuff coming in off the bird, and so there was no local content whatsoever. And it went like that for a year straight. And that's when I approached the general manager, and I said, look, you know, we'll come in. We'll do this show for you. We'll do a local show. We'll do it Sunday night just to get the ball rolling. And we'll see what happens. Give you some local content on the station, and we'll do it for free. So how could they say no to that? They didn't. They gave us
a lot of stations do say no to that. I mean, because you just don't do that. I mean, we would say yes to that. And
Right. Obviously
it's the guy who said yes to it was a smart guy.
And it wasn't like I was just walking in off the street. I had worked for the station, you know, for 6 years before that or 5 years before that, however long.
Right. So you were a known quantity, and he knew that you would not, embarrass him on the air or whatever, right?
Exactly. And so Free Talk Live went on the air for the first time on a Sunday night, and we weren't expecting much. I mean, it was 4,900 watts, Sunday night. Who's listening? Well, as it turned out, we got about 40 phone calls that first night, and it was just such a tremendous response.
So there was more of a built-in audience than you thought, or did you do your own little promotion campaign, you know, for a day or two?
We did promo the show through the week, the first week. Yeah, we did promo it.
Okay, well, it probably worked.
It apparently did, and in fact, it worked so well that after the second Sunday show that we did, the management came and said, hey, you want to do weeknights? Sure. So that's how it got started.
Well, tell us about the show. It's an intriguing name for sure.
Yeah, Free Talk Live. You know, I'm a huge fan of talk radio. I love talk radio. I love listening to talk radio. I'm even guilty of being a talk radio caller as well. And there's certain things that I don't really care for that much about talk radio. And so I sort of wanted to break some of the rules of talk radio. And it seems like one of the first things is that every talk show, with the exception, I guess, of the one that we're on right now, 90-something percent of talk shows are the so-and-so show. Now, the Rush Limbaugh show, the
right.
Sean Hannity show.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get away from that. I wanted to have just a show that could be run by essentially anybody. So if I got sick or something like that, could bring in a second stringer and still have live content.
Yes.
And so we created Free Talk Live, and the concept is simple. It's not something that's really unusual. It's, in fact, a concept that I think is run in probably smaller markets around the country. But the basic idea is you can call about anything, talk about anything, whatever's on your mind goes. As long as you pick up the phone, we'll put you on the air. There's not some screening policy or anything like that. We keep it simple. Like, you know, when you call in, we just want name, where you're calling from, and what do you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And we implemented that, and it worked brilliantly.
Suppose you've got a hot and heavy subject going, and someone calls and wants to switch the subject to something else. I mean, you just let them do that?
In the back in the original days of the show, in the FM days, when we were sort of just on our training wheels, so to speak, we probably would have done that back then. But these days, if there's a hot topic, for instance, if immigration is really bringing out the calls, and someone, you know, we've got three calls on hold about immigration, and somebody else on hold wants to talk about hamburgers, the hamburger guy's going to have to wait. I mean, we're going to exhaust the calls on immigration first before we go to the next topic. But if you're patient and you hold on long enough, you really can talk about anything on Free Talk Live.
Right. Okay. And so, I don't know, it was a local show for how long, and then when did the syndication bug bite you?
We shuffled around for a while. We were on the FM talk station for probably about 6 months, and then they flipped the format to alternative. It was a couple months later that they canned me after 6 years of working there. And so I sort of moved on. I had some money in the bank account, decided, you know what, I want to keep my show on the air as long as possible. So we brought Free Talk Live back. There was a lull, essentially, where we were off the air on the FM station, but we continued doing internet shows during that time. So we would do like a once a week internet show just to sort of keep the momentum going. Because when we were on the air on the FM station, one of the things we focused on were driving people to our website. And, of course, we had archives on the website. Also, we had a group that people could join, like an email list, so they could be keyed into the show. And that was actually really valuable, because when we went off the air on the FM station, I had a list of maybe it was about 200 email addresses of people that liked the show. And so when we took it to a brokered station, we were buying airtime. It was only like $500 a month for weeknights. I really got a pretty good deal.
Uh-huh.
So we were buying the time. I sent out an email to all of my former listeners and said, hey, you know, here we are. Of course, we've been doing the internet show. A number of them were listening to that. So we kept the ball rolling as much as possible. Got on this other station. It was an AM station. We went there. We were on there for another 6 months. We decided to bail out of there because they weren't treating us too well. And then we moved to another station locally.
When you say not treating you well, what do you mean?
The manager wanted to dictate certain things about what we could talk about and what we couldn't, and I didn't care too much for that, so
gee,
I took it somewhere else.
That sort of ran against the grain of the whole name of the program.
they were
he wanted you to change the name to Restricted Talk Live, huh?
But perhaps so. I mean, they let us go for a while, but then there started. It was actually around the same time when the Janet Jackson episode occurred, the Super Bowl thing. So that sort of put everybody on edge, I guess. And so we sort of dropped off again at that time, went back to doing internet shows only, and then a few months later got started on another local radio station, another AM station. Well, this time we weren't paying for time. I was working for this station at the time.
Well, I got to ask you a question, especially when you go back from when you're not on when you go from broadcast to not broadcast, where you're not under the same restrictions, do you say bleep here and there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the way people talk.
Well, then how do you, right? But well, so how, when you get back on the radio and you're already in the habit of saying bleep, then how do you get out of that habit so that it doesn't say so that you don't say bleep on the air? And then, you know,
that's why we're radio professionals, Michael.
So
we can do that.
Well, clearly you can, but I'm just saying, how do you do that? I mean, well, I get now that you've got what 20 stations that you're affiliated with now.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I guess it's pretty easy for you to do, because would you call yourself primarily a radio show No. I'm talking about the show itself. Forgive me.
It's definitely a radio show.
It's formatted like a radio show, even though it is a podcast and it's an internet only radio. And if something happened, if Clear Channel moved in and bought all of those, or some company bought all those 20 affiliates that you're on, and some guy made the decision that to drop the your program, and you were back to being an internet only radio program, would you start saying bleep again?
You know, it's not like I would curse like a sailor or anything like that. It was more of just at the appropriate times. I don't have a filthy mouth.
Okay.
But there are certain times when those words help emphasize. There are appropriate times, I think, to say those words, and that would have been the time when I was using it. So it wasn't like they were just spewing out of my mouth or anything like that.
Right.
But it's interesting that you actually bring up the difference between being a podcast and a radio show, and it's difficult and sort of challenging to strike a balance there, because, you know, we're on 20 stations, and then we also put the archives online as a podcast. And in case your listeners aren't aware of what a podcast is, it's a delivery system for MP3 archives of our radio show. So it just automatically sort of shoots out the archives to subscribers, of which we have about 2,000 downloads per day. And so when you're listening to the show as a podcast, you actually don't get any commercial breaks, because that's one of the sort of selling points of, oh, here's why you want to listen to the podcast, because we cut out the commercial breaks. Whereas if you're listening live, you sort of pay for the show by listening to the break.
Well, what's going to happen when your advertisers want to be in the podcast? Are you going to say no?
We do some live reads, and those stay in the podcast. So those actually are pretty valuable to us. But this is the interesting point. It's one of the differences between the format of a podcast where, you know, on the podcast, people will listen to what is essentially, we do a three-hour radio show, but after you cut out all the news breaks and the commercials, it comes out to about 2 hours of actual show content. So they've got a two-hour chunk of show that they listen to straight. They might put it down to go do something, but they're going to pick it up again and keep listening. Whereas your radio audience, you know as well as I do that people are in and out of their cars. They only get to listen to chunks at a time. You know, you're looking for 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. You're lucky if you get people tuning into an entire hour, let alone two or three. So you've got a totally different sort of listenership, and it's interesting combining the two media formats together. For instance, a podcast listener might listen to the show and say, why do they keep recapping so much? Well, it's because we've got new people tuning in all the time on the radio. So it's kind of tricky trying to balance the two media.
So it makes perfect sense to me. Now, do you of course look at your download statistics, so you have some idea. In fact, I'm sure you have a better idea of how many people listen to you through the internet and through podcasts or web radio than you do of the number of people who listen on broadcast.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, do you have some figures for us? I mean, what's the latest? At least download. It tells you that that computers, so X number of computers are downloading the program. Of course, you can't tell whether they're
people are actually listening. They listen. Correct.
Right.
We're at about 2,000 a day, over 2,000 a day at this point download. Which,
right.
That's not too shabby.
And if that's true, if 2,000 people a day are listening to you, you can command a pretty decent spot rate, right? For a 30 or 60 second spot, or I guess you probably use live reads more than anything, right?
Right. The live reads we charge more for, obviously, because it goes both on the radio and to the podcast. And
right.
It's the exclusive way that you can actually reach our podcast listeners. We'll also, if somebody really wants to, we'll throw in a 30-second at the end of the show or something like that. But the podcast listeners are spoiled. If you do a show with no commercials in it, no pre-recorded commercials, and you throw a commercial in there, they'll start sending emails. They get all upset. So they're very spoiled compared to radio listeners.
We're talking with Ian Bernard from Free Talk Live. He's the host of this program that we've been looking at as a possible candidate for KSCO AM 1080. It happens to be produced live. It fits perfectly in the clock from 4 to 7 p.m. I explained to Ian when we've had a number of conversations earlier this week that it's nice that he is willing to have our station be an affiliate without requiring the typical commitments that most syndicators do. And that's nice, but I also explained that our first choice is always going to be live, local and live. And that's what we will be starting this Tuesday, or this Monday rather, with Charlie Friedman, who will be the host of a program. We're not even sure we're going to continue calling it Happy Hour. We may or may not. But Charlie will be hosting it. He's a pro. He fills in for me on the Saturday special quite regularly. And every time he's on, people say, hey, you know, we'd rather have Charlie than MZ. So, well, we can take a hint. In fact, it's been more than a hint. So we're not going to give him Charlie for the Saturday special. You're stuck with MZ at least for the time being. But we are going to try him in the afternoon drive. And I think it's going to be wonderful, especially since he's going to be teamed up with Dave Michaels, who's there right now. Right, Dave?
Yes, I am.
Do we have a commercial break that we're supposed to do, or did we do it already?
We've already played them all for the hour. So,
oh, my God. We need to get more. Commercials. Do you need more commercials on your program, too? Or are you?
Actually, we cut back on our commercial load this past year. I talked to my network, and I said, you know, we've just got too many. We need to be more competitive. We need to cut back on our load.
Did you up the spot rate and get it, to compensate? Because no one wants to make less money, you know. But
we were actually undersold. at that point. My co-host, Mark, he's on the show with me every night. He's also my my sales guy. He's the general sales manager for the show. And he's only been selling the show full-time for the last 4 or 5 months. So back when we cut the minute of spots, we didn't even have a full-time salesperson, so it wasn't a big deal. And it was good, too, because it actually allowed us to be what they call less is more compliant in the business, and that's for Clear Channel stations, because obviously we want to get on those,
you
too.
You broke up when you said something. It enabled you to become what?
Dropping that 1 minute of commercials per hour allowed us to become less is more compliant, and that's a big deal in the world of Clear Channel. And dropping that commercial got us our first Clear Channel station, so it was worth it.
Really?
Yep.
And what Clear Channel station was that?
WTKG in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I see.
Programmed by the same guy that programs Wood, Phil Tower, and Wood's a huge station up there.
Uh-huh. That's great. Had you been pitching them for a long time, or did they call you?
I'd been pitching Phil, and then we met him at a convention and hit it off, and he's a heck of a guy, and he really is really behind the show. The thing that's really cool about our program directors of our 20 stations is they're all really excited about Free Talk Live, and they really like what we're doing, and so it's great to have that sort of support behind the show.
Well, let's do a little experiment here starting next hour, which will start in about 7 or 8 minutes. Actually, we have, I think, Dave, we have a Kay's commentary, I think, right? If we don't, I want to put the last one was so good that we want to do that.
Yeah, we've got it.
Okay. So, and then what is that, about 4 or 5 minutes?
4.5.
Okay. So when we come back after the 11 o'clock news break, we'll play that. And then Ian will take over the reins here and do a little Free Talk Live sample program for us and invite callers and see what happens, okay? Is that okay, Ian?
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, talk about, let's see how you would fit in with our KSCO audience here and just sort of get some answers that way. So you're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's the Saturday special with MZ and special guest Ian Bernard, who is the host and driving force between the program Free Talk Live, which originates from Ian's living room what town in New Hampshire is it, Ian?
We're in Keene, New Hampshire. Just moved up here about 5 or 6 months ago from Florida.
Right. Okay. And so we'll get more of a sample of what he does coming up next hour. KSCO Santa Cruz, it's 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rod Fritz. Jane Fonda is at it again.
It took 6 years for Vietnam veterans, active duty servicemen, Gold Star mothers, and military families to come out against the war. It has happened now within 3 years of the war. Their presence here is critical.
The former protester of the war in Vietnam, today protesting the war in Iraq, along with thousands of other folks on the National Mall.
Mr. Bush says more troops. We said we need more Pell Grants, more housing, more alcohol and drug rehab, more bridges, a time to build, a time to heal.
Reverend Jesse Jackson, other events being held in over a dozen cities around the country today. In Iraq, 2 car bombs going off in a Baghdad market. At least 13 Iraqis are dead, 40 hurt. U.S. Military Command says, meanwhile, U.S. airstrikes killed 14 terrorists and destroyed a safe house for foreign fighters. President Bush turning his attention to domestic issues today during his national radio address, highlighting energy.
I've asked Congress to join me in setting a mandatory fuel standard to require 35 billion gallons of renewable and alternative fuels in 2017. Nearly 5 times the current target.
The president also hit on the robust economy and health care. The Democratic response?
President Bush identified America's energy challenges. Now he must turn talk into action.
Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa reiterating as well that the Democrats want a change of the course in Iraq. Pakistani police say a bomb has killed at least 11 people and wounded 35 in northwestern Pakistan. The blast took place near a Shiite mosque. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. Losing your sight would be terrifying.
But sadly, more than 6 million Americans are losing their vision to blinding inherited diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. These diseases make it impossible to drive, read, or even see the faces of loved ones. Everything in life becomes a challenge, but there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research on macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and Usher syndrome, or to find out how you can help, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, driving research to save and restore sight.
You've heard of organic food, but how about organic clothes? They'll soon be coming to a department store near you.
There's a third of a pound of pesticides in one conventional cotton t-shirt.
That's why Marcy Zaroff makes pesticide-free clothing and linens through her company Under the Canopy. That's right, organics is spreading from the table to the tablecloth. Zaroff believes every clothing store will have an organic section, much like grocery stores today. For now, her line sold at the grocery store in every Whole Foods market in the country, just like this one in Boca Raton.
That's an organic cotton little tank top over here.
The industry's extending beyond cotton to soy, bamboo, and other fibers.
About breaking the stigma that organic fiber is hemp. That's what, when people think organic fiber, they think light, you know, tan hemp. No.
Major clothing stores from H&M to Target already selling organic clothes. Holly Hickman, Fox News Radio.
More and more presidential wannabes out and about this weekend. Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton in Iowa, Republican Rudy Giuliani is in New Hampshire.
Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney may be trailing both Rudy and John McCain in the polls, but he's certainly a Republican to watch, and he's in Washington today speaking at the National Review's Conservative Conference.
Fox's Julie Kurtz. Anatomy class a bit too graphic at one New York school.
Seventh graders in Yonkers, New York getting one heck of an assignment. Ordered to paint the family jewels in their health class, and they did. Mapping out the male member on the blackboard, the school teacher exposed after a parent complained. A school spokesman says kids are supposed to learn about sex organs, but they draw the line at, well, drawing them. The teacher now banned from classes. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Prince Charles and his wife Camilla in the city of brotherly love. They are right now saying hello to visitors at the Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. After Philadelphia, the royal couple will head to New York City. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. We are your source for red hot news talk on the Central Coast. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, January 27th, 2007. Today will be cloudy with occasional rain showers. Highs should be around 60 degrees with winds light and variable. Tonight will be cloudy with a 60% chance of rain showers. Lows around 41 degrees. Again, winds should be light and variable. Tomorrow, more rain can be expected with highs around 61 degrees. Tomorrow night, more rain with lows around 40 degrees. The Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for this, for today, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots with wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 7 feet at 13 seconds, along with scattered showers. The time is 6 after 11 and time for hour number 2 of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Hey, Dave.
How are you doing?
I'm good, but do you think that teacher who was banned from the classroom, you know, they talked about it on Fox News just a minute ago.
Right.
Do you think he was fairly banned from the classroom for simply asking his students to draw sex organs?
Well, it depends on the maturity of the kids, because you know how kids, I know that it depends on how old they were, but yeah. You know, it could turn into more of a comedy act than an educational class.
What age is it okay? What age is it not okay? And what age does it suddenly become okay?
I have a 7-year-old son, and I would not be ready for him to learn anything like that until maybe, definitely, he got into high school. I think I'm going to end up getting in trouble for telling off a principal or two. I have a feeling I'm going to confront that.
Okay, so he's 7 now.
He's 7 now, yeah.
Now, and so that would not be acceptable to you so now. But if he was 11?
Oh, no. At 13, I would think at the earliest, absolute earliest.
Okay. That's fascinating. It's just, well, in any case, we should make that the topic of next hour. It might evolve into that, but we're going to have sort of a guest host who's going to sort of take over the reins here just for a little while and see what happens. But before we do that, we have to officially start hour number two of the Saturday special, okay? We should definitely do that.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... But I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Hey, the sun is starting to come out. I'm going to be in a much better mood than I've been in. And it hasn't been bad because of all the fun, neat, new, changing things have been happening lately.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, now I think we have that big voice that's going to announce the K's commentary. Am I right, Dave?
You are absolutely correct.
Okay, let's do it.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Some months ago, I spoke about our civilization being on its way out. Other thought provokers corroborate in a more erudite and academic way. The following is called How Long Do We Have? About the time our original 13 states accepted their new constitution in 1787, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor of the University of Edinburgh, had this to say about the fall of the Athenian Republic some 2,000 years earlier. Quote, a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. I called it corruption rotting from within. The average age of the world's greatest civilization from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During that 200 years, those nations always progressed through the following sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Professor Joseph Olson of Hamline University School of Law, St. Paul, Minnesota, points out some interesting facts concerning the 2000 presidential election. Population of counties won by Gore, 127 million. Bush, 143 million. States won by Gore, 19. Bush, 29. Murder rate per 100,000 residents in counties won by Gore, 13.2. Bush, 2.1. Professor Olson adds, in aggregate, the map of the territory Bush won was mostly the land owned by the tax-paying citizens of this great country. Gore's territory mostly encompassed those citizens living in government-owned tenements and living off various forms of government welfare. Olson believes the United States is now somewhere between the complacency and apathy phase of Professor Tyler's definition of democracy, with some 40% of the nation's population already having reached the government dependency phase. if Congress grants amnesty and citizenship to 20 million invaders called illegals, and they vote, then say goodbye to the USA in fewer than 5 years. It will always be a moral responsibility to take care of our infirm and the bona fide needy and elderly in our midst, and it will always be a privilege to help those in need. It is the able-bodied who should not avail themselves of federal funds simply because it's free. Those persons should work like the rest of the citizens instead of being cared for by the government. It's a wonderful feeling to have your own dignity and self-respect. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Oh, way to go, Ma. Yeah, I can understand. That's the first time I've listened to it, actually, without being interrupted. A lot of accolades on that particular commentary. What do you think, Ian Bernard from Free Talk Live? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I liked parts of it. What I wanted to suggest, though, was that I think we're a little further down the line than Kay believes we are. I think we're pretty much towards the very end stages where essentially Americans are enslaved by their government, except the thing is they don't even realize it. And jumping back to the topic that you guys were discussing before that with the sex education and the drawing of the genitalia, if you you really want to look at this issue from what sort of a perspective that we would look at it from on Free Talk Live, which is one of the other things that sets the show apart from most of the rest of talk radio, is that we think that, or at least I do, I think that the government education system is the problem. It's not necessarily that they're teaching sex ed too early or too late or they're doing the wrong things in the sex education class. The problem is that government is educating children. That's the issue. And that's something that, you know, normally when you hear an argument about education on the radio, it's about, well, where are we going to get our funding from? Or it's about some little sub-issue of some problem with the government education system, when in fact the problem is the government education system. And if you look at the Communist Manifesto, I don't know which plank it is, but one of the planks is government control of education. And that's what we have in the United States.
Since day one.
Not true. Not huh? Since day one.
Really?
No. Most education was done on a private basis for a long while until there was, it was actually something between the Protestants and the Catholics. I don't remember which group it was, but one of those two groups wanted to essentially indoctrinate the other group, and so they created government schools, and they mandated that all of the other group, either the Protestants or the Catholics, again, I don't recall which one it was, mandated that they all attend these government schools.
If it wasn't day one, would you say it was day 2033? I mean, that just give me an idea of.
It was towards the end of the 1800s, but I'm not positive. It was somewhere in the 1800s where government schooling came about, and people didn't realize it. In fact, if you go back and you look at some of the quotes from the individuals that created government schools, they're really scary, Michael. These people wanted to essentially use the government schools to create a class of thoughtless serfs, people that would staff, you know, the garbage trucks, people that would staff the manufacturing companies of the country without ever thinking about having something better. They wanted to create two classes. They wanted the elite class, which, of course, are usually educated outside of government schools, and then they wanted to have the masses, essentially, the serfs. And they've done a brilliant, brilliant job. As government has become more involved in education, test scores have dropped. Kids have become more and more clueless. I mean, we've got such an illiteracy rate like we've never had in this country. And the problem is government education. And the reason why government can't educate is because government can't really do anything very well.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, I've always had this theory that the major thing wrong with our education is that they've got it backwards. Administrators do not aspire to be teachers where they would get paid more. It's the other way around. Teachers who are paid almost nothing aspire to be paper-pushing administrators who get paid a lot. And
you're right.
It's exactly the opposite of what it should be.
Not only is it backwards in that way, but it's backwards in every other possible way you can look at. If you look at your standard, just any business that isn't subject to a lot of regulations, let's pick the computer field. For instance, you're out in California, a lot of computer techie businesses out there. Very low regulation in the computer business. And look at what you get. You get products that are very competitive. There are different organizations, different companies competing for your computing dollars. And they keep getting better. Computers keep getting better, and they get cheaper. So if you go and spend $1,000 on a computer today, you're going to get 10 times the computer that would have cost you $1,000, you know, just 5 years ago. And so you're getting more for your money. In fact, the computer prices are dropping. Laptops are less than $500 now for budget versions.
Sure.
My point being that over time, the marketplace and competition have lowered prices, increased quality, increased availability, made products better, easier to use. The software is getting better, easier to use. Whereas you compare that to education, and education just keeps getting more expensive. All you hear from the politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, is that, oh, we need more money for education. It's the same thing every year, as though politicians giving them more money is going to fix the problem. It doesn't.
What will?
The test scores continue to fall.
Ian, what will fix the problem?
I know it's going to sound radical, and a lot of Free Talk Live sounds radical.
Now, wait a second. Before you answer that, I want to give out the phone numbers, and let's see if people will call. 479-10. There's zero calls on, which doesn't happen very often where we have zero calls on the line. However, people tell me regularly, MZ, don't get all nervous if there's not callers. It means that it means one of two things. Your audience is bored to tears and it's gone away, or it's so riveted by what is by the content that they don't want to call and knock you off track. Okay, but our phone numbers are 47. You would probably agree with the latter, I think, right?
Yeah.
More than okay. 479-1080. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to chip into the conversation here on the Saturday special with Ian and MZ. Ian Bernard from Free Talk Live. So give us a call, or you can email mz@ksco.com. I've got the email box up and open right now, and of course that's good anytime if you want to email mz@ksco.com. But if you email now and it's pertinent to the program, we'll be happy to read it on the air. Now it looks like we've got jammed phone lines, so let's go to our first caller, Rick.
Can I present the solution first?
Go ahead.
The solution is so simple. You just get the government out of education and allow the marketplace to handle it. Just as a quick example, here in New Hampshire, I pay $6,000 a year in property taxes. And a good chunk of those property taxes go to the government education system. Well, if I were able to keep that $6,000 a year, I have a duplex, so half of that duplex, I would be able to cut back on the rent that I'm charging the people on the other side of the duplex by $250 a month at least. You take that, multiply it out times 12 months, you're looking at, $3,000 a year that those people wouldn't have to pay me in rent that they could easily put towards their daughter, their six-year-old daughter's education. And if it was the market that was handling education, then competition different entities competing would bring down prices and increase quality. And everybody, the other benefit is everybody would get the education they want. So Dave, your guy running board today, he would be able to actually sign up for some school that would have the sexual education curriculum that he was looking for. And he wouldn't have to go to some school board meeting and argue with every other parent who cares in his district as to what the appropriate policy would be. We'd all get what we want, like Burger King and McDonald's and upper-end restaurants. There'd be high-expensive schools. There'd be more budget schools. And if the schools weren't doing a good job, they'd lose customers to the guy across town.
The phone lines are no longer jammed. Half of them hung up. Now, I don't know whether that's because there's nothing more to say, because you said it all, or because they're just disgusted and disagree with you. Personally, I'd say, now, who can argue with Ian Bernard? Can you, Rich and Salinas? You're on the air on KSCO.
Absolutely not. No, matter of fact, last night on Coast to Coast, George Norrie had Alan Jones on, and they were talking about the exact same subject. Dumb it down the education system, dumb it down the people, and having a elite class eliminating the middle class.
Hey, if I'm not mistaken, Alex Jones is syndicated by the same network that Ian is. Am I right, Ian?
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. So it's Genesis, I guess, is the name of the network, And I guess it's a group of like-minded people, sort of libertarian.
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
No?
I wouldn't say that at all. We're Genesis's breakout show. Alex and the other shows that they carry, they're more of like the conspiracy kooky crackpot shows. And we don't focus on conspiracy theories on Free Talk Live because I personally believe they're a complete waste of time. So there is a huge difference between our show and the rest of the shows on the network.
Rich and Salinas, do you suddenly think less of
no, no,
of
no.
Ian?
I mean, I don't. You know, I've got to have evidence to believe in the conspiracies, and if you provide me with hard evidence, it's like anything. You know, Coast to Coast has a lot of different stuff on it, but you know, I've never seen a ghost, so until I see a ghost, I don't know if there's ghosts. You know, that type of stuff.
Everybody knows from coast to coast that there are no such things as ghosts.
Okay, here you go. Now, I had two questions earlier for you, and you can answer them later when you get a chance, but are the Sharks on tonight?
The Sharks will be on Comey whenever they're supposed to be on. So, yes, okay. We will be breaking format for the Sharks. We are under contract. I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or it's a bad thing. But it's a thing. Okay.
And Dr. Wallach, what happened to him?
Dr. Wallach will continue to be on Comey, and we are going to bring him back to KSCO at better time than four in the morning. But yes, Dr. Wallach will be on Comey. We will be breaking the music format at 12 noon as he has been for the live broadcast. We might have missed it, the last couple days because of tweaking it and getting it all together. But ultimately, that's the plan here.
I tuned in late this morning, and so I missed a lot of what was going on. So that's what I was wondering.
Okay.
I'd be interested in having him on, listening to him. I'd definitely call in and talk and throw my two cents in every time he was on the program. So, 4 to 7 you're talking about?
Well, 4 to 7 is when his show was on.
Right.
Free Talk Live?
Free Talk Live, yeah. He likes you, Ian.
Rich
and Salinas likes you. That's a good sign.
The more talk about any subject, the better we can do, especially immigration. Like you're talking, immigration's a hot subject. I've been hot on that for 2 years. Every time the Republicans send me something to fundraise, I write all kinds of notes on there. Close the borders before you get any more money.
Right. Okay.
Thank you much. I can jump on that if you'd like.
Let's keep the calls going through, okay? Try to remember that, and if there's something you want to say, you can. But I want to keep the call moving through the calls here. By the way, that opens up a line at 479-1080, so give us a call. Next caller for Ian, Ian, presumably, and MZ is here, is Russell in Carmel Valley. Russell, you're on the air on KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Great, Russell.
I'm actually on my way to doing an open house. I'm in real estate. I homeschool. I've got 5 children.
Excellent.
And my wife is a full-time mom, and she has committed to training our kids. I've got a 5-year-old on up to a 14-year-old. And, you know, when we started having children, you know, our conviction was that it's the parents who are primarily responsible to teach their kids, not the government.
Absolutely.
And I think the problem that we have is the government has usurped the authority of the parents. And then now they're threatening to, you know, jump in and do health care. And I'm thinking that's not the role of government. That is not their position. So how could they be successful at it? And then, you know, your whole point
excellent
about property tax, what a shame that we are taking, that money and using it to try and educate our kids when you're right, more money, throwing more money at the problem hasn't worked. They've got reports after reports after reports that show that it hasn't worked. And so,
I love the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, our solution for our children in this country is got to be the parents. They have got to step up. And sure, I'm not saying every parent has got to be a teacher, but they have to be caring enough about their kids to go and get the appropriate education for their children and not just leave it up to the state to take care of them. They want somebody to blame. If my kid doesn't turn out right, I can blame the state. I can blame the public school. That's a cop-out.
Yeah.
When you say
it's nutso, to send your kids to government school. And I like using the term government school because public school sort of stirs up all these emotions in people. Well, we must have public schools. Well, we would have public schools if the government would get out of it, just like we have restaurants that the public can go into, just like we have 7-Elevens that the public can go into. So there would still be public schools. They'd just be privately run.
Well, and here's how illogical things have become. The government schools are saying, we will allow you to get an abortion, but we won't allow Johnny to go get a tattoo or a haircut. You follow me?
The whole thing is...
It's
arbitrary.
It's arbitrary and incongruous.
You hear about that teacher in San Antonio, I think it was, just like a month or so ago. He got nailed because he took a kid who had like a gangbanger type haircut. He took him to get it cut. He got in big trouble. But if he took that same student to go get an abortion, he wouldn't have been in trouble. Go figure the logic in that.
Russell,
well, again, it's just...
I'm happy you called, Russell. Okay,
thanks, guys.
Thanks for
keep
your
up
call.
The good work. Well, nice talking
just
to you.
Keep this whole thing going here. Clint in Santa Cruz is our next caller. Welcome to the Saturday special with Ian and MZ.
Hello.
Hey, Clint.
How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Well, why is the solution for everything to turn it all over to private enterprise and they will do better?
Simple. The reason why is because force is wrong. It's not very nice to point weapons at your neighbors and demand that they do things. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what the government does. For instance, if I, in every instance, there's a gun being pointed, even if it's not actually physically being pointed, there is a threat of violence. For instance, I've got my property taxes here. If I decide not to pay them, what's the government going to do to me, Clint?
Put you in jail.
Now, what if I don't want to go to jail?
Oh, then it'd be a standoff at the OK Corral, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it sure would, because they're violent. They want to force their way upon me, whether I like it or not. I didn't consent to any of this. They just decided that they're going to come and demand money out of me, even if I don't care.
That's absurdist logic.
Excuse me?
Absurdist logic?
What part's absurd?
The whole notion. Now, your analogy
you
with the computer industry, you know, making computers better and cheaper and better.
Mm-hmm.
Children are not pieces of computer hardware.
I didn't suggest they were. I suggest that parents should be able to choose which school they send their kids to in a market basis. That way, for instance, I, as an atheist, don't have to send my kids to a school where there are a bunch of religious kids running around.
There's plenty of private schools available right now. If you want to, you can send your children to private schools. You just have
to
pay through the nose for it.
Schools. And the private schools educate kids far and above better than government schools do. Yes, there are private schools. There should be more private schools.
Well, I don't see where turning all our tax dollars over to private enterprise so they can make a profit
You're not turning
would improve the situation.
Slow down.
Look,
I didn't say
we're the greatest, most powerful nation on earth.
Clint.
We're the richest nation on earth.
Hey, Clint.
We've got the best schools.
Hey, Clint.
They send us their students overseas our schools here.
Clint.
There's nothing wrong with our schools.
Clint!
Oh, yes, there is.
Clint.
Yeah?
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
I've been saying Clint. Then I was saying Clint. Then I was saying Clint. Let our guest talk. Go ahead, Ian.
Okay. I never suggested turning tax dollars over to private enterprise. What my suggestion is that you should be able to keep the money that you earn, and you should decide where to spend it. So if you want to spend it, for instance, on a community-run school, run on a voluntary basis with volunteers getting paid very little, you should be able to send your money there. If you want to send your money to a charitable organization that runs schools, you should be able to send your money there. If you want to send it to a corporation, then that should be your choice. I'm not suggesting anybody enforce how they want to spend their money or your money. I'm not suggesting that the money be turned over to the government and then turned over to some corporation. I'm suggesting you keep it all and you decide where to spend it. What's wrong with that?
Look, we're in a capitalist nation. There are capitalist nation. There are winners and there are losers. What about the poor people?
Well, it's very simple. If everyone were actually allowed to keep their money that they earned, then they would have more money to contribute to charitable causes, Clint.
Of their choice.
Oh, and there would be no more poor people.
I didn't say there would be no more poor people, but the poor people would get the help they deserve. If you look at the welfare situation
in
this country...
And they'd be pulled up and they could afford the private schools.
I didn't say they could necessarily afford the private schools, but they
is just people trying to figure out how to be more and more stingy in their lives. Our public schools are the finest in the world. They send overseas students to our country to get an education. Look downtown Santa Cruz. It's full of Asian students going to UC.
Well, you can't compare government high school, middle school, and elementary school education to colleges. Colleges have a significant degree of more competition.
If Johnny can't read, it's because his parents never taught him to. I learned from my parents. Didn't you learn from your parents?
I certainly did, thank goodness. I'm glad they didn't turn me over to government schools, because I probably wouldn't be able to read.
If you didn't know how to read, it's not the public school's fault. It's your parents.
I went to public schools, and I don't know how to read.
Very good. Well, guys, you know, be as stingy as you want. Try and keep all your tax money, and the world will be much a better place. I support our schools.
Clint, I love you, but
government function. It's necessary to run a society.
Okay, here, I got to put Clint on hold so he'll listen to me. Clint, I love you, but you missed the point, I think. I mean, you seem to be telling Ian what he's saying, and he's not saying any of the things that you think he's saying.
You know, Michael, people like Clint believe that mankind is evil by nature. Right? Because he's suggesting that we just want to keep all our money and hoard it under our mattress. When in fact, America is the most charitable of nations. Look at the tsunami. Was it about a year and a half or a year ago out in Thailand? Who do you know in Thailand? Most Americans will probably never go to Thailand. They'll never meet anybody from Thailand. But yet Americans on their own, without government involvement, contributed something like $300 million. To various different charities over there. How do you explain that? It's because people aren't evil by nature. But if it's true, what Clint believes, that people are evil and stingy by nature, then if that's true, why on earth would you want to give evil, stingy people the access to the reins of power? That just doesn't make sense.
Right. Okay, you're listening to the Saturday Special. It's 11:34. There is 26 minutes remaining in this program before the Perspectives program just after noon p.m. I am so excited that Joe in Salinas, who has been so upset with us since we let Michael Savage go, is at least partially still listening to KSCO. I'm also happy that Harold and Aptos is on the line. I'm happy that Ed and Aptos is on the line. Gary and Live Oak is on the line. And we have a line. I think we actually have a line or two open also at 479-1080. We are talking with special guest Ian Bernard, host of Free Talk Live, a very interesting program. We're getting a little dose of it now. We do have a commercial break, so everybody who's online, stay there. We promise we'll get to you. We're going to let you all have your say. This is your favorite radio station for intelligent people only. If by accident you are a stupid person who happens to have tuned in, you must tune in.
You'll find the great outdoors on display this weekend at the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose. Yes, you'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, and accessories, and much, much more. Get in on all the fun of buying and selling at the Giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds in San Jose this Saturday and Sunday. Get there early for the best deals. Doors open at 9 a.m. You'll find hunting knives, all types of firearms, work knives, beautiful jewelry, sporting goods, hunting goods, safes, swords, ammo, survival books, Western art, military supplies for the hunters and sportsmen, and much, much more. Don't miss the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All state, local, and federal laws will be followed. Go for the great outdoors at the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds.
Hello, I'm Haiti Danielson from the Cardinal Encanto School in Santa Cruz. At Cardin, we teach children to strive for excellence in all they do, to be critical thinkers, and to appreciate the beauty in everyday life.
I'm William Jones, Carden Dad and Professor of Shakespeare and English Literature at UCSC. My wife Lisa and I chose Carden for our daughter because of its high academic standards, its highly qualified and caring teachers, and the individual attention in small classes. In addition to the classic curriculum, we also chose Carden for its ongoing commitment to art, music, drama, and PE. We're especially pleased with the mutual respect that abounds in the Carden community.
Hi, I'm Bryn. Actually, I chose Carden for all the classes, like math, chess, and French. I can barely even choose which class I'd like best. And all the kids are so nice. I'm friends with all of them.
If you're looking for the right school for your child or are thinking about making a change, consider Cardinal Encanto and call us at 460-2600. That's 460-2600.
Life's good at the beach.
Hello, I'm Joe Creaky, owner of Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz, where life's good. One reason why life is so good at Beach Auto is that we know how to save you money. Lots of money. Instead of buying a new car or truck and losing thousands of dollars in depreciation the second you drive it off the lot, buy a quality pre-owned car from Beach Auto Sales. Beach Auto has the area's best selection of quality pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans. And I personally select every car, truck, or van that's on my lot. Another reason why life is so good at Beach Auto Sales is that buying a car or truck is so easy and fun, it's just like going to the beach. In fact, 50% of Beach Auto's monthly sales now come from satisfied repeat and referral customers. Don't forget, life's good at Beach Auto Sales.
When you're ready to buy or sell, go where life's good. That's Beach Auto Sales at 512 Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz. Give Joe Creakio a call at 4-200-200. That's 4-200-200. Life's good at the beach.
And we're back. MZ? Bernard?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone, unfortunately. The ISDN is dead, so you're going to have to unplug it and reset it. I'm sorry, gang. Live radio, we have the finest technical difficulties of any radio station anywhere. I've been trying to dial back on the ISDN for the last 4 minutes.
You say that with such pride, MZ.
Yeah. So anyhow, you know how to do that, right, Dave?
Right.
Just go to the back of the rack, unplug it, and we should be able to reconnect. I don't know what happened, some glitch in the power, whatever. Welcome back to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Ian Bernard from Free Talk Live. We were going to, I was trying to put Joe and Salinas on with Ian, and I don't know whether he got on or not, but I'm going to put myself off and put Joe on with Ian right now.
Okay.
Ian?
Hello, Joe.
This isn't Joe, but we're working with trying to get Joe on. This is Donald Davidson. I do the next hour. It's Perspectives Hour.
Hi, Donald.
I have a question for you. I have a great appreciation for what you're doing. I agree with everything that you want to go after, but there is a word that is tossed around a lot, and usually on my show, when it starts to get tossed around, I want to read a dictionary definition of that word, just to bring everybody into focus. And the word that you used a few minutes ago was conspiracy theories. And yeah. It's really, really important because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding because that term is used so often. And I usually bring it around to wanting to have people look in the dictionary of what it says. And my dictionary says two or more people plotting for evil purpose. And as far as I'm concerned, almost everything that we're talking about is a plot of an evil purpose, which means there has to be a conspiracy, and it requires at least two people.
Well, there's no doubt that there are conspiracies out there, absolutely. It's just that there are certain radio shows that do nothing but spend time on these old, these conspiracy theories about who was behind 9/11 and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And it really, to me, it doesn't matter. What matters to me is what has happened as a result of 9/11, and that is that the government has gotten more intrusive, more oppressive, and bigger than it ever has in the past. It is we're heading down a road towards total totalitarianism in this country.
Absolutely.
And what matters to me is turning that around and getting people activated to do something about it instead of just focusing on, well, here's what we think happened in 2001. It's just, to me, it's just a matter of a total waste of time.
Right, but that what you just described could not happen without a conspiracy. In other words, two or more people plotting for an evil purpose.
Oh, whichever way it was, I mean, I don't believe any story. I don't believe the government story, and I don't believe the conspiracy theory story. Either way, though, it was a conspiracy. It was either a conspiracy of the hijackers to hijack the planes or a conspiracy of the government to be an inside job. Either way, it was a conspiracy. So you're right about that.
Okay, and I really believe that term is thrown around so much that people have lost focus. That's a reason in my shows I usually bring people back to a dictionary definition, so that they can get a feel for really what that means.
Well, great. I'm back on the ISDN now, gang. So thank you, Donald. Joe and Salinas, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, you're on.
Hi, Joe.
What is this idiocy that I believe his name is Clint said that it's not the responsibility of the school to teach children to read?
Well, it is the responsibility of parents to get their kids educated.
Yeah, Clint. What do we spend our tax dollars on if not to teach the children to read and write?
Clint is no longer with us on the air here, so he can't answer you. So you have to ask rhetorical questions, or Ian or poor old MZ here will have to do our best to answer in the way that we think Clint would answer you.
Well, I think maybe Clint's silence is about the most intelligent answer that he could give. Okay. I think any clear-thinking person realizes that if they're not teaching the children to read and write and other basic things, then they have no business getting any of our tax money.
Okay,
yeah,
Joe.
Well, they're not doing a very good job at it. No. They're just not. I mean, you just look at the statistics. Government is miserable at virtually anything they try, and that includes teaching children. I mean, people say that, well, education's so important, and it is, which is exactly why it shouldn't be in the hands of the state.
Okay, hey. thank you, Joe in Salinas. Here's Mike in Santa Cruz. You're on KSCO, Mike.
Yeah, I'd like to express appreciation for this idea of ending government school. You know, every year we hear about the illiteracy rate going up.
Yep.
And what did they do? They asked for more money. They've been in control of the schools for over a century now. Back to your discussion of when did it become that way. In around 1840 was when the public schools began, and 1857 was when the National Education, then known as the National Teachers Association, began, 1857. Since then, they progressively took over with their socialist ideas, beginning with Robert Owen. There's a great book anybody can read with all the history they never knew they needed to know. It's called The NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education, by Samuel Blumenfeld. Again, that title, NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education. The best book I ever read on the subject.
You might also want to look into John Taylor Gatto.
Sorry?
You might want to also look into John Taylor Gatto. He also read some very excellent books on the education subject.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you had this socialist a few minutes ago talking about, you know, he's defending the public schools, and was his name Clint?
Yeah.
That's, you know, he was on the mantra about greedy, stingy people like us. I'm a free enterpriser. I'm not a socialist, and I'm not a capitalist, and I'd like to make the distinction. Capitalism is just really another word for fascism. And it's government control through economic power. I mean, it's the financial power of government through economic power. Free enterprise is a person's free ability to earn their own living, however they choose, to be self-employed or whatever. And
yeah,
I know there are many, many socialists who also have their own businesses, and they are also free enterprisers. Now, the problem is when they start calling us greedy and stingy, that's where my blood starts to boil, because they are the greedy, stingy ones. We like to go out and earn and help other people, and we give to other people as we see fit. We are not greedy and stingy. Our problem begins when they start
expecting it through their own greed and laziness to be supported by us. And to where they will use the government, people like Clinton will use the government to steal from us so they can have whatever they want. Okay?
It's true. That's and the great part about the free market system is that people individually can choose where to send their money to. So if I don't like one charity, I don't have to send my money to them. If I want to support a different charity, I can send my money over there. Where it's when it's the government's involvement, then it's one size fits all. It doesn't matter if you don't like what the government's doing with the money. You're forced at the point of a gun to send it to them. And that's sick.
Exactly right. The income tax is an illegitimate tax. The 16th Amendment was never ratified. The whole thing is a great program of thievery.
Mike, appreciate your call, but we got to move on. There's a lot of other people here waiting here. Let's go to Bruce in Soquel, our next caller on the Saturday special. If I can get him on here. What's wrong with okay. Bruce, you're on the air on the KSCO.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment a bit on what Cliff said about people flocking to UCSC. People flock to UCSC precisely because UCSC is in a competitive market. I myself went to a private university and a public university. I went to UC Berkeley and then to Stanford. The UCs have to compete against every other private university, you know, in the state and potentially in the nation. So UCSC is competing against Stanford. Santa Clara is competing against UC Berkeley. I don't see why extending that competition down to K-12 would harm anything. What we need is exactly the model that the universities in California have.
Wow. What a great point.
That would be an improvement, but it still wouldn't be as good as it could be, because even the college system is still heavily regulated, heavily subsidized. There are state colleges, which means they're essentially run by the government. Yes, there's more competition at the college level, and that's a good thing. But getting the government out of education entirely, even at a college level, would be the optimum.
I think that would be better. But the colleges in this country develop from private roots.
Thank you, Soquel Bruce. Thanks, Soquel Bruce. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special, 479-1080. 479-1080, the phone number to call, mz@ksco.com. If you want to send an email anytime, but if you do it in the next 5 or 10 minutes here, while we're still on the air with the Saturday special, we may get it on the air here. Speaking of which, I've got to allay the fears of poor Vernette E. Godfrey, who sent me the following email. Always listening, but will miss the Saturday special. You always played music in the early 70s. That was good, too. Guess what goes around comes around. And Vernette says, God's blessing to you in this new year. Thank you, Vernette, but you got it all wrong. The Saturday special is not going away. We're going to be here where we've always been on AM 1080 KSCO. We are not going to be simulcast on AM 1340 because there's no point in breaking format. If people want to listen to the Saturday special, they'll tune to 1080. If they want to listen to oldies music with personality and just be happy, you know, then they can listen to AM 1340. So somehow I must have given you the wrong impression that Saturday special is going away. It is not. 11:49, we got 11 minutes left on your favorite radio station's, hopefully, favorite radio program, but nah, probably isn't. I think we've got plenty of other good programs on. Gary in Live Oak, you are on the air with MZ and Ian. Go.
Yeah, hi, Ian.
Hi, Gary.
The ABC did a terrific documentary called Stupid in America. And
yes.
Kids 15 years old, testing with 40 countries, plays 25th, which is totally outrageous. There is, you know, Clint's talking about actually charter schools if you were moving government money to private schools. I agree that with your position that it should be private to begin with. But the Oakland principal that had the worst school there moved over to a private school, and his school went from the worst to the best in a very short period of time. Also, there's I'm homeschooling my kid now. It's Robinson Homeschooling. And for $195, you get enough CDs and cassettes to include Encyclopedia Britannica, Webster's Dictionary, scores of classic books. The only thing you have to supplement it with is with Saxon math. And these kids are going through this stuff, come out college prep without any government money whatsoever, and you got them in with the safety of your own home.
You can have them college prep by the age of 14, if not sooner.
Right. Well, the only thing I did agree with Clint was, you know, the parents should teach the kids to read.
Excellent call. Thanks.
Okay.
For
it. Yeah, bye-bye. Thanks very much, Gary in Live Oak. Here's an email from, who is it from? Well, it says Blither Blather here. So, I would like your guest and UMZ to explain the apparent paradox so prevalent in Santa Cruz and elsewhere. These kids today, they're so smart, so mature. They know stuff at 13 I didn't know at 20. So why is it that intellectually their SAT scores are sorely below what they were 20 years ago? And pragmatically, they haven't had a clue how to be financially independent even at 35. And
you know, when I was when I was in government high school, the only sort of financial anything we were taught was how to write a check. They never explained saving. They never explained credit cards, how those work. There's absolutely no sort of education in regards to becoming financially independent, financially secure, which, of course, is critical information for kids to get. At least that's what I think. But I'm not the kind of person who would force my curriculum on other people. I think people should be able to be free to choose what sort of curriculum their kids experience. And to the end, that last call, homeschoolers do better than even private school kids do as far as test scores, as far as national spelling bee competitions. I think
I wasn't aware of that, but I believe it. I mean, it makes sense, actually.
It's true, and you don't have to have a doctorate in education to learn how to homeschool your kids. They're your kids. You know them best.
Okay. Yeah, we got about 7 minutes left in this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. We got a few lines open at 479-1080 in the closing moments. You should be able to get through if you want to. But Ed in Aptos has been waiting. He's got some comments on government. He's on with Ian and MZ. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, I don't know how familiar Ian is with California.
I've never been there.
Then you're not familiar with our wonderful experiment in turning our power system over to the public sector.
Oh, boy.
And the only people that didn't suffer under it was Los Angeles, because they were run by the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's around the country.
Wait a second. That blows your theory that government can't do anything good. Also, I heard maybe it was...
Oh, no. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Wait. Before you go on. Government can get things done if they throw enough money at the problem. But the thing is, if you were to take that same amount of money and allow private industry to handle it, they'd be able to do it for a fraction of the price. They'd be able to do a better job for a fraction of the price as government can. In fact, schooling's a perfect example. I think the average private school cost is about half of what government pays per pupil. I think around the country it's usually around $7,000 to $10,000 per pupil at government schools is what they spend, and they don't get the results that private schools do for when private schools are costing between $3,000 and $5,000 per year per pupil.
Your theory on schools is probably look at the people that are going into it. Private schools have their pick and choose of their students, and public schools don't. I want to get back to your definition of government. What is is government? You use it as a pejorative.
Yeah, and government is an organization of individuals with a monopoly on force. It's essentially a gang that flies flags out in front of their offices.
Well, government is the people of the, and we elect our government. We have several elections, and I know my school board here is elected by myself and my fellow citizens here in Santa Cruz, or my locality where I live. And if I want some changes done there, if I want them to teach economics or practical economics, check writing and credit cards, I can go to the school board and request that.
Oh, how lame. I mean, for instance, can you imagine if if grocery stores were run by the government? Then we'd all have to go to food board meetings to lobby as to whether or not we could have Grey Poupon mustard on the shelf.
Hey, you know one of the largest retail operations in the country?
What about it?
It's the PXs and BXs run by the government for the GIs, and they don't lose money. They just don't make a profit.
And your point?
Well, that they're a large organization that is making money, but they don't lose money. And they're run by the government. Also, a third thing run by the government that's done very well, I heard on Michael's station maybe 2 months ago,
they were talking about the Veterans Administration and the Veterans Hospital, and there wasn't one complaint by his listeners on this show that complained, and they're all praising their care by the Veterans Administration.
Well, that sounds like that is almost unbelievable to me. Every veteran I've ever talked to,
well, it used to be, but they came under a new administrator. He kicked butt, took names, and the Veterans Administration's hospitals are well run, and they do it.
Sounds like propaganda to me, sir. Sounds like propaganda.
Bullshit.
Hey, you are on the radio.
Boy.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Ed has now been banned. My good friend Ed, this is terrible. I hope no one was listening to that. The audience will disregard that last comment from Ed. Oh, my gosh.
He's the VA. I mean, he's bringing up the VA. No. That's a perfect example of total socialized health care right here in the United States. And from every veteran I've ever talked to, they have a terrible time at the VA. There's waiting.
Oh,
lists.
My God. The phones are
trying to
phones
kill
are,
them.
They're ringing off the hook now. Hey, Rory, go ahead real quick.
Briefly, in defense of Ed, I did hear that same show on the VA, and I guess they did go through some changes. So some government within their prescribed priorities laid out by our Constitution and state constitutions, they do have a job to do, and they can do it. It's as good as the people running it and as good as the people overseeing it. However, I agree with your guest that education, elementary education, should be the purview of the parent. They should get everybody in California a voucher. Each parent, for each kid, we're spending in closer to $14,000 per student per year for elementary school and high school in California. Okay?
That's amazing.
They should give that money to the parent and let the public schools compete for those students. And
but
they'll
wait
either
a minute,
rise or fall.
I understand the voucher thing, but why do we have to have the government redistributing our own money? Why can't we just keep it?
Well, you know, Ian, probably a good first step is to run the voucher, because that would give, first of all, you've got the mechanism in place already that's taxing the people. Get that money back to people there are poor people that don't have $14,000 a year per student. Could you imagine what would happen in poor communities?
Rory, thanks for making your point. We've got to move on to Joanna in San Lorenzo Valley. Quickly, Joanna.
Hi. Well, I'm thrilled to have your guest on. I hope you get his show on, whatever it is,
We'll
is.
We'll try to figure out something here.
Yeah,
so.
It's been great.
It's Free Talk Live. Shameless plug, Michael, at freetalklive.com.
What'd you call about, Joanna?
Well, I'm especially interested in, you know, the fact that his theory about education, in that if it was privatized, that would create competition.
Yeah.
And that's the thing right now, is there is no competition in the public school system.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Now, here's Cyril and Trespinos. Go ahead, Cyril, you're on.
Hi, guys. Good show. I like the comment about government is just a gang with power. My comment was about Clint. He's the new Ben. He needs to take his wallets. He'll feel so much better. It's not the politics. You know what I mean? He needs his wallet.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. God bless you guys.
Okay, great. Hey, Ian, you did great. Not that I didn't think you wouldn't. You have a lot of experience, and I hope to have you on again in one form or another. Continued success to you in Free Talk Live. You got a great show going, and let you and I stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at SaturdaySpecial.com or KSCO.com. Okay, so there you have it here.
That's all, folks.
You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Sex offender caught. 27-year-old John Richard Horner, who allegedly abducted and sexually assaulted a 6-year-old Arizona girl yesterday, is now in custody. Horner convicted in Louisiana on a sex charge involving a minor. The little girl found 4 hours after she was reported missing. Thousands out demonstrating in the nation's capital today.
Iraq war means we got to fight back.
Among the anti-war activists speaking on the National Mall today, actress Jane Fonda once called Hanoi Jane when her protest decades ago took her to North Vietnam. Fonda referencing the active duty military and their families demonstrating today.
It took 6 years
for Vietnam veterans, active duty servicemen, Gold Star mothers, and military families to come out against the war. It has happened now within 3 years of the war. Their presence here is critical.
The Pentagon reporting the death of one U.S. soldier in Iraq yesterday. U.S. airstrikes today killed 14 terror suspects during a raid on a safe house for foreign fighters near Bakuba. At least 13 Iraqis died when two car bombs struck a marketplace in Baghdad today. A mosque targeted in another Muslim country.
At least 10 killed in a bombing near Shia Muslim mosque in northwestern Pakistan. Most of the victims, police and officials who were clearing the route for a procession of Shiites.
Fox News Radio Scott Heidler. Iranian install, a lawmaker there saying the Islamic country has started installing 3,000 nuclear centrifuges at a uranium enrichment plant, ignoring warnings from the international community, including this one yesterday from Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns.
If they think that they can get away with 3,000 centrifuges without another Security Council resolution and additional international pressure, then they're very badly mistaken.
Iran claims its program is for peaceful purposes. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with a quick look at your traffic. Let's see, College Road at Lakeview Road, we have a non-injury accident blocking the lane. Viera Canyon Road, just north of Rivas Way in the Monterey area, we have a report of a fire. Probably won't last too long, though, in the rain. Traffic collision on Highway 17 just south of the East Santa Clara County line. Redwood Lodge Road at Soquel San Jose Road in Santa Cruz. Highway 17 just south of Sugarloaf Road. We have a traffic collision with no injuries. East Dunn Avenue on the on-ramp to northbound US 101. We have an animal on the loose. And Highway 9 at Saratoga Road. Our Saratoga Toll Road, we also have another traffic collision. Let's take a look at Highway 17. That was mentioned on the previous screen. So if you have anything else to report, give us a call here at 475-1080. We're going to take you back to Fox News, and we're going to follow that up with perspectives.
Speaking out against a policy her husband put in place, New York Senator and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton in Iowa addressing a gathering of Democrats, saying she doesn't think don't ask, don't tell. Actually, she does think it discriminates against qualified gays in the military.
Well, I have been in favor of repealing don't ask, don't tell. And I'll tell you why. We have thousands of loyal, patriotic Americans who've been discharged from the military in a time of war. That, to me, does not make sense.
Jane Fonda's leaning towards Hillary. The Reverend Jesse Jackson asked who he is supporting for president in 2008 at today's anti-war rally in Washington.
Barack has my vote.
But I have appreciation for all those who are running.
Delivering the Democrats' radio response today, L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, the topic, Iraq.
Now with the president pushing escalation and an open-ended policy in Iraq, the pressure on our guard will be even more severe. It's just another reason. It's time to change course.
Yeah. Picking up where his State of the Union address left off, President Bush talking up his energy proposals during his weekly radio address.
By expanding our use of renewable and alternative fuels like ethanol, we can become less dependent on oil and confront the serious challenge of climate change.
The president also pushing his new health care proposal.
We must help states that are developing innovative ways to cover the uninsured. States that make basic private health insurance available to all their citizens should receive federal funds to help them provide this coverage to the poor and the sick.
Fans out in force in Philadelphia today trying to get a glimpse of Prince Charles and wife Camilla. They were at the Liberty Bell. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. We are your source for red hot news talk on the Central Coast. I am Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, January 27th, 2007. It looks like today you can expect more occasional rain showers with highs around 60 degrees. Wind should be light and variable. Tonight will be pretty much the same with lows around 41 degrees. Tomorrow you can expect rain with highs around 61 degrees, and tomorrow night more rain with lows around 40 degrees. The Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots with wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 7 feet at 13 seconds, along with scattered showers. The temperature here at the station is 61 degrees. Just a reminder, Perspectives is coming up next here on AM 1080 KSU in about 10 seconds. Enjoy the show.
How are you gonna do it?
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name's Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining me in the studio to host the show is Dr. David Biles, and he knows that I brushed my teeth at least three times before I came down to the studio. We have a couple very special guests today. Our first guest in-house here is Terry Oberto, who is a state-certified clinical nutritional consultant, personal trainer, and practical herbal therapist. I did practice that in the hallway. All right. And our other guest is Dr. Ed Bowman. Dr. Bowman, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, everyone.
Great.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Terry.
And Dr. Ed Bowman is the founder and director of Bowman College, which is a nutritional. Actually, I'm going to let you introduce that, Ed, because
okay,
I think you started with IET as well.
Okay. Nice to be with you. I'm in Mendocino at the moment.
Great.
So we're hooked up coast to coast. I've been doing a state-approved whole food training program that was initially the Institute for Educational Therapy. And then in 2004, we did a makeover, name change, upgrade, and call it Bowman College Holistic Nutrition and Culinary Arts.
Well, so you've been that name for some time now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you and Terry on the show.